You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Everybody, Steve Politi from NJ Advance Media, and welcome back to the Rutgers Rant. I'm joined, as always, Keith Sargent, James Cratch. Fellas, this is a huge podcast. We have significant breaking news coming to start the show off today. I don't think we've had a development quite like this in a very long time on the Rutgers beat. Sarge, maybe you could just give us an update. What are your sources telling you about this breaking story?
Well, as you know, I've been working with sources. I wanted to get at least multiple sources. I could only get one on this one, Steve. For whatever reason, I just couldn't get other officials to talk to me. But my sources have told me that James Cratch has popped the question.
Wow.
I don't know what the answer was. So but I have heard that Cratch popped the question. I don't know. Is he here right now? Is Cratch here? Could you think that maybe we ask Cratch on the record whether or not he could give us an answer?
Yes, I did. I'm engaged.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
huge news. Big enough news, by the way, that Greg Schiano knew about it at his press conference today, interrupted a question that Cratch was trying to ask with the timeout. He called his first timeout of the season, put his hands up and said, "Timeout. I hear that you've got it." And he went right to Cratch. It was a good little moment.
It was.
So Cratch, what did Noah Vedral, what did he say when you popped a question to him?
That's awesome.
In all seriousness, yes, I got engaged. My beautiful fiance now, I guess. Martha and I, we were up in Connecticut. Big day, happy day, so very excited. And I figure wedding planning is probably going to bring a lot of fodder to the podcast, and it's going to last a while because I can't imagine we'll be getting married next year, given the huge flux of people who are already engaged, who were supposed to get married earlier in the year. And obviously, I would prefer to have my wedding not involve everyone showing up an hour early to the venue to take a rapid antigen test. So
when is the date now?
So I think we were saying like probably like 2022, and I immediately pull up my phone. I was like, okay, so when is the Rutgers Ohio State game scheduled for 2022? I was like, oh, let's do it then.
It was a veteran move to actually pop the question before, you know, it gets really crazy the football season. So I credit you on that one. The other veteran move is not to have the wedding in the fall. I know a lot of people like to have them in the fall, but as a beat reporter, I think you're going to have it at the most inopportune time for Martha.
We will be having the wedding in the fall because I am not calling that shot. And Sarge, you got to do without me without October. So get Fonseca ready and we'll call him up for a month.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, and actually I will say this, like, I thought I had a little bit more time on my hands to kind of plan this out on, say, August 12th, 2020.
Yeah.
But obviously, thanks Ohio State, Nebraska. Thank you. I believe Martha also thanks you because you sped up the time frame a little bit.
Outstanding. Good for you guys. We're happy
for you.
That's the biggest development. The second biggest development, we have a two deep. We have a depth chart for the Scarlet Knights this week. Finally, get a look at it. Get to see which players are where. As I correctly predicted on Twitter, there are a couple of significant ores
on the depth chart, which means, of course, that Greg Schiano, for reasons related to either injuries or intrigue or just the competition, is too close to call. He's not saying who's going to be that, who's going to be the starter at a position. Of course, quarterback is one of those situations. Sarge, you know, you've been around Greg a long time. Do you think he knows who the starter is, or is it really too close to call between Noah Vedral and Art Sikowski?
I think he 100% knows who the starting quarterback is going to be. I think he 100% is going to guard that secret about as tight as you know, anything that, you know, you'd have a better chance of finding out, like, the secret, the presidential code to blow up the, you know, the nuclear bomb.
Trump just tweeted that, actually, so I've got that.
Yeah, you might have. But, you know, there's no chance that he's gonna let that leak out. Although, you know, Crash and I will obviously be working the sources, you know, on that as well. I did find it interesting that, you know, it's been pared down. You know, I mean, we spent all summer thinking that we might have had four or five different quarterbacks in the mix. Now it's down to two, Art Sikowski and Noah Vedral. You know, we kind of think, you know, that Noah Vedral, you know, just as a transfer from Nebraska, dual threat. There's some tape, you know, some pretty good tape of him, you know, looking like he could probably fit the Sean Gleason system. But I've told you since the very beginning, you know, of the summer when we started talking about the football team again, that Art Sikowski, according to people who I've talked to, the limited amount of people who have actually seen Rutgers practice, by all counts, has really made some strides. And, you know, I don't think I'd be surprised whatsoever if come Saturday at like 11:55, we find out that Art Sikowski is the starter.
I cracked, settle this once and for all for the two of us. Which one of us is pronouncing Noah Vedral's name incorrectly?
It's Noah Vedral, is my understanding. So yes. I'm not sure who's saying it.
What are the odds of that, me getting it right? What are the chances?
Whoa.
Oh, how about that? I'm 1-0 this week.
So hopefully we could talk to him at some point.
Yes, that would be nice.
You could have asked him directly.
Yeah, Noah, two-parter. How do you say your name? And you're the starter, right? I think, Steve, you counted. It was like five oars.
Yep.
Fewer oars than I expected. I thought we were going to have, you know, so many oars that, you know, Connor Orr was going to be on the team. but I thought, and obviously I'm working something, you know, about the analysis of it. Some surprises. I will say this, you know, and it's tough because, and I want to be upfront and say, like, we didn't get a chance to ask Greg Schiano on a follow-up. I'm sure we might be able to do that on Thursday when we speak to him again. You know, he talked about the quarterbacks and he praised everyone. Didn't mention Johnny Langan, which I think for me and for others kind of started the, you know, the piqued the interest. He's, you know, still on the roster, still listed at quarterback, but I do think it was interesting. Not that I find it a surprise, that it seems like Art and Noah have kind of separated themselves, and then from there, they're kind of thinking about developmental guys like Simon and Snyder.
Well, it's interesting because Sarge said he wouldn't be surprised if Art trots out as the starter. I would be extremely surprised if that was the case, just based on what I know about what they want to accomplish with this offense and what I saw last year. Where do you fall on that?
I would be surprised, not as surprised. I think we talked about this last week or the week before. I do think, you know, the idea that I don't think Art is this immobile, you know, I don't think Art is like Ron Gruden's knight statue in the pocket. You know, I do think Art can move a little bit. So it wouldn't totally shock me if he plays. And I think that, you know, if they're going to try to it's tough because we know what they want to run, but Greg has always said about Gleason, he hired him because Gleason is good at taking the personnel he has and making it work rather than trying to devise a system for the players he wishes he had. Right, so if Gleason looked at this offense and said, you know, all the pieces point to me having Art as the quarterback, then maybe that's how Art gets in there. But I still think Vedral is going to be the guy, and I would still be surprised personally if Art is the starter, but not shocked in any way, I guess.
I guess I'm just looking at it now, Sergeant, going through the depth chart. You know, you need someone who can move back there, and you also need someone who's not going to do a 5 to 6, 7 foot, you know, step drop for passes. When you've got an offensive line, and again, we kind of nailed the starters in most cases, but there's a chance that they could have a converted defensive lineman as your starting center based on this Brendan Bordner, based on the depth chart. And also they are one injury away at left tackle and right tackle from true freshmen starting. So the line as big a question as we expected.
Yeah, without question. I will say one thing about the quarterback and the reason why I think that it could be Art. If you are going to say the ultimate, you know, quarterback, what Greg Schiano wants in a quarterback, and just based on his past history of Mike Teal, Savage, another guy, 6'4", prototypical quarterback. You've talked to him enough. I've talked to him enough about this. You know, Art Sikowski fits that, you know, that prototypical mold. 6'5", 225 pounds, can move. Again, Crash talked about it last week. I mean, he's underrated in his ability to actually move. And that's another reason why I think that long-term, Art Sikowski or that type of quarterback is what Greg wants. Again, you guys, have made really good points about Vedrill being more maybe of a fit for what Sean Gleason wants to do. But again, I think Sikowski, you know, fits that mold of what Greg Schiano wants in his quarterback. As far as the offensive line, I mean, we've said all along that, you know, this is going to be an issue. I do find it interesting that Bordner is at center. I think there's a lot of experience there, and I think, you know, he's smart. And you know, look, I mean, if he's been doing it for long enough, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that, you know, that he'd be able to do it. O'Neal seems like he's anchored the left tackle spot. Krimen, the left side of the offensive line is probably the strength. The right side is an unknown. Cedric Pellant at right guard. Reggie Sutton, you know, a lot of promise at right tackle. Hasn't really, I mean, I got some experience, but, you know, it's nice to see that he's anchored the right side again. Again, so many unknowns with his offensive line. You know, they get tested right away because if Michigan State, the one thing that you think about with Michigan State is, you know, their ability to handle the trenches, and they have some pretty good defensive linemen. So we'll know right away, probably around 3:30, 4 o'clock on Saturday.
All right, so Crouch, rounding out the offense, I was a little surprised at a couple of things on the wide receiver front. Not that Aaron Cruickshank and Bo Melton were starters. I was a little surprised to see that Shamin Jones had beaten out Isaiah Washington, and with Paul Woods and Christian Dremel, the backups. What are your thoughts on that group, you know, overall?
Yeah, so I was surprised about Shamin Jones just because he's a guy who started, you know, played all 12 games in 2018, had two catches for 15 yards last season, really kind of fell off the face of the earth. So, hey, you know, good for him. You know, he's going to have a second act, it looks like. You know, also get back to the line. You know, good for Brendan Bordner, whether he's the starter or he's the backup. You know, when a guy is here for 3 years and doesn't do much and he switches positions, you never really expect much. You always figure that's like a last-ditch effort to get on the field. This movie looks like it's going to pay off for him. You know, he's on the two deep. You know, I don't believe he's been on the two deep, you know, without injuries being a factor in his time here. You know, Cruickshank also kind of surprised me because we know he's an elite return man. We know he's got blazing speed. He didn't do a whole heck of a lot as a receiver at Wisconsin. You know, the most work he got was on jet sweeps and end arounds. So I never thought it was a given, you know. I understand in Wisconsin's a run-first offense, but if a guy can make plays, they're going to find a way to use him. So I never thought it was necessarily a guarantee he was going to be a starting wide receiver here, but obviously he's going to be that. And I will say Christian Dremel, you know, there was a lot of hype amongst the fan base about him. I never really bought into it. I always kind of thought, hey, he's a guy who's flashed a little bit and people are looking for something to be optimistic about. But clearly there was some substance to the hype. Because he's listed as a backup as a slot receiver.
All right, let's move over to the defense. And you know, what struck me about this, and we knew it going in just looking at the players available on the roster, but there are just so many seniors, so many upperclassmen that are going to be starting or in a backup role on this defense. That's not usual when a new coach takes over. You know, I think I counted something like out of the front seven, 11 of the 14 players on the depth chart are seniors, which is impressive. And as our good friend John Newman pointed out, you know, those guys can come back next year if they want to, you know, so it's just a wealth of experience. Why don't you start, Sarge? What did you anything surprise you on that defense in the two deep or anything anything just stands out overall?
It's a great point. Just on the amount of seniors on the defense, you know, Greg Schiano, again, just talking to him in the past, he likes grown men on his defense. I mean, that's the one thing. Offense, I think he's more willing to play some true freshmen and some inexperienced guys and see what they, you know, what they can do. But on the defense, he loves grown men. A guy like Lou Moore is a, you know, perfect guy. He might be like, you know, as old as you by the time he leaves, thanks to the eligibility. You know, and just on and on and on. I mean, you know, a Dwum 4. Tverdov, Fogg, you know, all these guys, you know, just, you know, are seniors and just have a lot of experience. I think, you know, we all know that, you know, Greg Schiano, there's going to be a defensive-minded, defense-first type program. I really do think that this defense has a chance to be pretty good.
Kratz, your thoughts?
No, yeah, I think that this is a defense, you know, I have questions about the secondary. I don't know about the depth there. I think that, you know, obviously having Loomer be listed as a starter was big for me because, you know, since that was such a surprise last week that he was back with the team, I didn't know, like, you know, when did he get back? What type of shape is he in? Is he a guy who just got back a week prior and is going to have to work his way into playing shape? But clearly, he's ready to rock and roll. Robin Utretten being starting nose tackle or starting defensive tackle, you know, maybe the Swedish pipeline that Chris Ash establishes is finally going to pay off now that he's gone. So that was a surprise. You know, I think the linebacker looks very strong. You know, Deion Jennings, Drew Singleton, looks like one of those guys is going to start. They're going to obviously move Tyreek Maddox-Williams. It looks like, you know, 03 going back to Sam, so he'll start over Maddox Williams. Fogg obviously in the middle, but I think it could be a good defense. It's just that defensive secondary, there's not a lot of depth there. Peyton Powell, curiously, not on the two deep in any of the positions. We didn't get a chance to ask Greg, hopefully we will Thursday, whether that's a sign that he's just not in the mix right now or he hasn't gotten a waiver to be eligible. That was what really kind of struck me. I knew it going in, but to look at the depth chart, see that secondary, the wave behind the starters, that's where I think they might have some issues.
Right, and all those guys are going to play, you know, and obviously in nickel packages and whatnot, so that's good. Interesting. I did wonder when I saw the two deep if there was some sports columnist in Stockholm going, oh, I've got myself a story here. I could get to Piscataway, New Jersey, and write about the unsung defensive lineman whose name I'm not even going to pronounce after Sarge murdered Noah Mitchell.
He might actually get better practice access than us.
Oh, zinger. I love it. All right, let's just wrap this up on the two deep. Who were some of the other guys that you didn't see in there? I guess there were a few that we expected, and, you know, we still don't know if it's a waiver issue or if it's an injury issue or if they just didn't earn a spot, right?
You know, obviously Stanley King, like I was – looking to see him, but then again, I looked, you know, look at the measurables. It might just still be a kind of a strength and conditioning thing for him. He's got to put the weight on. Obviously, Tunde Fatukasi, Brian Felter, there are going to be some true freshman offensive linemen that probably play on this team, which is both exciting that, you know, potentially those guys are good enough to be on the 2D, but also pretty scary that if you might have two true freshmen starting offensive linemen in the Big Ten.
Sarge, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I'll give you one. Montario Hunt, mm-hmm. who is a guy who hurt his knee when he first arrived. He was a junior college transfer, hurt his knee. I've heard good things about him, you know, and he's not on the two deep, but I have heard some good things about him. The one thing we know about this wide receiver core, they might have a lot of guys just in terms of roster spot, you know, some guys with different levels of experience, but really not any wide receiver on this entire roster has ever done anything, you know, of substance from a playmaking standpoint. They are going to be looking, you know, at least early in the year to see who steps up. No matter what's happened, you know, in practice, you know, you can't really determine it until the lights come on.
All right, moving on, guys. We had a press conference with Greg Schiano today. It was like the old school Monday game week press conference, except he was in the team room in Piscataway, and we were where we always are, sitting behind our desks on Zoom calls. He seemed like a very positive, you know, I mean, he was in a good mood. He seemed like he liked the state of the program. He talked a lot about the logistical issues, which is going to be a big story all year. I mean, when you see what happened in Purdue with Jeff Brohm getting the Rona, he wouldn't tell us what his backup contingency plan is if he gets it, although he did joke that he was going to let Kratz coach the team, which I'm sure you would do, James. I mean, I can see you jumping in there, but
definitely. Yeah,
absolutely. What were your impressions, Kratz? You listened to him today. Did he say anything to you that stuck out?
You know, I think my biggest takeaway was kind of the positive attitude, you know, and I think that what he kind of mentioned, that he told the team, like, it's coming. Like, after all this kind of stops and starts and will we do this, won't we do this, all this stuff, they're going to play a football game on Saturday. You know, supposedly, as I kind of wrote in a story that I think hasn't published already, we don't really know that there's going to be a game until the ball is on the tee at 12:01 Eastern time and someone's about to kick it off. You know, anything can happen in this kind of crazy season. But no, I think they're just, they're ready to roll. And I think that, you know, he was asked, do you know what to expect? And he kind of seemed to think that maybe he indicated he has an idea more than he did a couple of weeks ago. I didn't really tip his hand either way what he thinks it's going to look like. But I do think that this, the idea that Rutgers is just going to get out there on Saturday and have no idea what's going to happen is not as much of a thing now. And I will say this, I wrote this, they've been on campus, you know, with the shutdown aside for the outbreak in July, since mid-June. So I do think that they're going to be more prepared than maybe we think to play this game on Saturday.
I was thinking about this, Sarge, as he was talking. If the world hadn't fallen apart, his opener back at Rutgers would have been an event, a thing. Like I was talking to Ryan Hart and I talked to Ryan Neal, you know, two stalwarts from his early teams, just about that first upset win over Michigan State in 2004. And both of them were speaking so excitedly about wanting to watch this. But, you know, they would have been two guys who probably would have been standing on the sidelines. There certainly would have been in the stadium. And I imagine there would have been 100 former players who wanted to come to this thing, the tailgates. It would have been an event. Instead, it's really just the exact opposite. I mean, it's a road trip to an empty stadium in East Lansing. You know, it's just a completely different situation. And I wonder, part of me wonders, other than, of course, having to go on the road to start, if he doesn't like it that way better, just knowing him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what you're saying is the coronavirus, this whole pandemic, is all the screw Rutgers and Greg Schiano.
Of course. It's just another example of the RU screw. One, the biggest one I can think of yet. It's really at the top of the whole thing. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I think knowing Greg Schiano, I think he really does like the idea of maybe getting the team on the road. Now, you know, as Cracks said, there's going to be some logistical challenges of traveling on the road. He talked about that today during the press conference, that if you've seen some of these outbreaks, it's been teams that have traveled and you know, come back with it. So I think he's going to be on high alert. In a lot of ways, it gives him the ability to kind of just, you know, give him a bunker mentality. They'll get to the hotel, they'll get in, and I guarantee you they'll be under a close watch. And ultimately, you know, without fans in attendance, it doesn't really give Michigan State that big of a home field advantage at all.
Yep. All right, guys, let's dive into some Rutgers Insider questions. As always, we want to thank you for subscribing to our new Insider. We've had some good content up there this week, you know, just trying to do different kind of stories that you guys would like, and really putting a lot of effort into making this a thing. So thank you for subscribing. If you subscribe, if you don't, what is it, $6? Come on, $6 a month? That's a cup of coffee right there. Come on. All right. Let's dive in. The first one was a question we talked about a little bit. Shamin Jones beating out Isaiah Washington. The comment is, I frankly didn't realize he was still on the roster. I don't know. Are we making too much of that depth chart switch? Is it going to be a situation where they're just going to play whoever gets out there and catches the ball crash? I mean, what do you think?
We might be. I mean, I think it's entirely possible that, hey, you know, if Shamin Jones is a guy who had a good camp and, you know, this – pure speculation, you know, if they're trying to light a fire under some guys, maybe they go with that for a week. You know, this is kind of a freebie season, you know, and it's a first game. So I think you can kind of be creative with that. So no, I think on one hand, yeah, we probably don't want to overplay it. But on the other hand, this is a guy who, you know, kind of didn't do much last year. And this is, I believe, fourth year in the program. So the fact that he has kind of risen up to get this starting job, even if it's just for the opener, and even if it's only maybe only a couple of snaps before he rotates out, I still think it's a sign that this is a guy who has made strides since last season.
All right, another question. Ireland Burke, not on the two deep. Is this a waiver issue, Sarge? Any ideas?
No idea. I did have him on my projected depth chart. I will say, you know, that you know, when you look at the you know, just a defensive line, Julius Turner, is a guy who's listed as a backup. He has a lot of experience. Dwanpour, I wasn't all that surprised about, but Ireland Burke is another guy that we'll probably have to talk about on Thursday.
All right. Here's a question. Does Liberty thoroughly defeating Syracuse Saturday make last year's victory actually look good? Or does it just point out how the potentially big missed opportunity of the canceled game with Syracuse? Yeah, I'd go with the latter. I don't think you can ever make you can't make a win over Liberty look good no matter what happens, Cratch.
No, I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, I always thought before, obviously, the schedule got changed that there was a really good chance that Rutgers was going to start 3-0, and the town was just going to be on fire with excitement. And now I actually am wondering, Monmouth may have been the toughest non-conference game they played. Wow. You know, and we haven't, you know, I take that back. That's hyperbole. You know, Temple has been pretty good so far the first few weeks. You know, obviously they've had a weird season too, not playing for so long. But no, I think Syracuse is a bad team, and I think it's, you know, if you're Chris Ash at Texas, you're probably thinking, like, why couldn't they have struggled like a year or two earlier? Because remember, when he left, everyone thought Dino Babers was the great miss and that he was going to turn Syracuse into a, you know, an 8-9-win-a-year team. And now I think Dino Babers might be on the outs at Syracuse. So it's funny how these things turn. But no, the Liberty win was never impressive. And honestly, people were saying, is Liberty, you know, they're 5-0, should be in the top 25. Obviously, I have the vote. The combined record of their opponents is 2-17. Wow. So Liberty is not exactly Notre Dame yet either.
All right. This is a good one. Sorry, it's for you. Do we expect the offense or defense to have the most improvements coming into the season? I think it's relatively obvious. Sarge, what do you think?
Yeah, the defense is going to be, I think, so much more of a known quantity going into it. Yeah. Offensively, we just don't know. I mean, and again, I do know that there's a lot of anticipation over Sean Cleason, what that offense is going to be all about. But I don't see a whole – I mean, you know, Cratch, you know, hit on Crookshank a little bit. Doesn't – you know, really dynamic kick returner, punt returner. Hasn't really – we haven't really seen much out of him as a wide receiver. Maybe he'll surprise. Pacheco, another guy who – you know, Graciano has called a Big Ten back. You know, I think that he could have a step up. But – you know, beyond that, I mean, we're still looking at a wide receiver core that I don't see, you know, a ton of, you know, just surefire playmakers going into it. And you know, if you're just asking the question, which one is more of a known quantity, is certainly the defense.
All right. Even with the upgraded roster, I am concerned about the lack of time spent playing together. Cohesion will be a big issue. Would like your thoughts during the podcast. I mean, the one thing to say, Cratch, it's going to be for both teams, at least, you know. I mean, they're both in the same situation, both with new coaches, both with new systems. You know, I don't know if Michigan State had more – it's been a big issue for Shannon that some teams had more spring practice than other teams. I don't know if Michigan State is one of them. But, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of sloppiness early on. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't believe Michigan State had any spring practice. And honestly, you know, Mel Tucker got hired at Michigan State about 2 months later than Greg did. So Rutgers might even have the leg up in that situation. So look, I think obviously I'm kind of the school of thought that like cohesion and, you know, that's almost one of the more overrated things in sports. You know, is it going to be a little sloppy at times? Definitely, given the weird way of this offseason. But I don't think it's going to be a situation where they can't line up straight or get the ball snapped on Saturday.
And the final question, you're picking a top three all-time Rutgers football beat writers. Who you got? Present company excluded. This is a good one, Sarge. I mean, I'm gonna throw it to you first because you've been around a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you would belong on this list if it weren't clearly that you're not allowed on it. So who are the three all-time Rutgers football beat writers?
I mean, number one has to be Joe Calabrese.
Joe Calabrese,
he has a plaque for those fans that don't know. He has a plaque right at midfield inside the press box. He was beloved.
Yeah.
The Rutgers Seton Hall basketball trophy is still named after him. Beloved, mm-hmm. Absolutely beloved. Great writer. Going back through the archives, it's an incredible writer. You know, Tom Lucci. Be in the mix. I mean, you know, love him, hate him, you know.
He was a national guy for a long time, though, too. So
he was.
He was.
You know, I'll throw him on. And then I'm going to go outside the box. You know, a guy from my old stomping grounds, Paul Franklin. Paul Franklin.
Yes, absolutely.
The fatherly one, you know, Greg Graciano still reveres him. I had lunch with him, you know, a couple of weeks ago. you know, still toiling. So, I mean, you know, I have to throw him in the mix just as a guy. Covered the inside ball. One of these days when we tell our great, on the beat stories, we'll tell the story of Paul at the inside ball of a car running into his hotel room. We'll tell that story. I just teased it there, but we'll tell that story in length. Maybe we'll try to even have him on. But, those would be the three that I'd have.
I just love right now, Kratz, that I'm just picturing, somewhere in South Orange, Ryan Dunleavy is getting into the car and he hears the question and he's like, well, clearly, I mean, Sarge is going to, and he hears Sarge say, old colleague of mine. And he's like, well, here we go. Okay. It's nice of him to say. And then he hears Paul Franklin, boom. And he just drives into a telephone pole when he hears that. Oh, I love it. Good work, Sarge. Good work.
Good work. I don't really have much to add. I will say, my former partner on the beat, Dan Duggan.
Absolutely.
Oh boy,
absolutely.
That's gonna cause a riot. Then don't say that too loudly. The fan base might not like that answer there. All right, let's go to some predictions. We get to pick football games, gents. You think I was going to forget this? I wish I looked up the records last year. I don't know who had the best record. Do we know?
I forgot. Yeah.
You forgot?
2 years ago, you went 12-0. 2 years ago, you were Alabama, is what you were.
That was pretty easy, if I remember correctly, 2 years ago, once we get through the first couple of games.
And what's good about me is I'm never a homer with my Rutgers picks. I'm always, I go straight and so I'm always right up there as well. Isn't that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah, you had him. What was the year you had him going 6-6 when they was it Ash's first year?
I think it's every year that I've had.
Every year. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Who wants to go first? Year. Who was right?
You nailed that. All right, Kratz. Since you nailed that, you can go first for predicting this game. Are you sticking with your preseason prediction?
Yes. So I just pulled up the website. It looks like the Scarlet Knights are a 13-point underdog at a legal sports book in Las Vegas, and. Yeah, I'm going to stick with my prediction. I'm going to go Rutgers 19, Michigan State 18.
Wow, okay. There you go, 19-14, like the 2004 score.
19-18 plague.
Exactly. Wow. There we go.
That would be perfect. It ties in so neatly. That would be a good Joe Calabrese lead. All right, Sarge, your pick.
I think I picked Michigan State initially. I'm going to go Rutgers. I think Rutgers is going to win this game. Yep. Wow. So many unknowns. We touched on, Michigan State's in the same boat. I think Rutgers is going to play a really good defensive effort. Low scoring, 17-14.
17-14. All right. See, I just have a hard time getting to 17. That's my problem. And I just remember what way that offense looked last year, and I know it's going to be completely different. You're not going to have Johnny Langan. You're going to have, a new quarterback. But I'm just looking at this line. Until that line proves to me that it can block a Big Ten opponent, I'm going to have a hard time picking this team to win. I'm going to go something like Michigan State 23, Rutgers 7. All right. There's the prediction. What else you got? Anything to close on before we wrap this up? Our first in-season show, Kratz. Anything else?
I think I'm good.
Pick out a China pattern while you're talking to us. Nothing like that. No.
No, we're not there yet. Not there yet. Uh-huh. But I do believe we have decided no receiving line. So, we're making strides.
Good plan. Sarge, what about you? Last word for you.
Just curious if Greg Schiano is going to get an invite to the wedding. That's the only thing that I think Rutgers fans, inquiring Rutgers fans, want to know.
That'd be so great. Can you imagine? He's sitting there at his desk. He's flipping through some mail, some cards. Like, wait, what is this? What? Cratch Martha? Wait, what? And then he shows up.
The case, Cratch has to have it like. He has to have it like Ohio State week. Give Greg the choice of either coaching the Ohio State game or attend Kratz's wedding, which we know. I think we already know what he would do.
No question. Yes, absolutely. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. This has been a fun one. Steve Politi, James Kratz, Keith Sargent signing off. We will be back on Monday next week to talk about a football game. Very exciting. Thanks for listening.